Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Yes, Father, in this most holy and awesome presence, Father, we pray that right now you take full control. Holy Spirit, you have started a good work in us tonight. And we pray that by the end of this evening when we leave, we all will leave here completely different than when we came in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, take over now. Your will be done for the glory of your name. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You may take your seats. Praise God. This young man here, you don't realize it, but you were sitting in the spotlight, young man. Just stand. What's your name?
Ian.
Ian. Ian. Ian.
Adrian.
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 Adrian. Adrian. Ah, oh, got it right, finally. Adrian, you didn't realize it, but God had an appointment with you tonight. Your life's been pretty messed up. Your mind's been in confusion. The devil has been lying to you. He's been trying to hold you in bondage. But this is the night of freedom for you. This is the night of complete turnaround. This is the night of deliverance. Yes, it's your night where God turns you into a man of God. Do you hear me? You heard the lies of the devil, and he told you you're not gonna make it, you're no good, and all the other rubbish that he told you, forgive me my plain English here, but I wanna tell you, I look you in the eyes, you are much more worth than what the devil tried you to believe. You are a conqueror, you are a prince of God, and you'll walk out of those doors completely different. I'll see you in Bible school, and in 3 years' time, you'll be a man of God. Take it tonight, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is in this place. I know one thing, and that is that I cannot do anything in myself. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be changed into other people, and we will prophesy, and we will speak the truth as He gives it to us. I want to tell you, it is holiday time. It is 2 days before Christmas. 2 days? 1 day? 2 days before Christmas. Happy 2019, everybody, and 2020 and 2021 and whatever else. Seriously, God brought you here tonight for a very specific purpose. I want you to stay in the spirit with me. The message, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I received a message from the Lord. Yesterday at my prayer place, I had an encounter with the living God, and God said to me, no longer slaves. And guess what? Here I walk in and they sing this song. No longer slaves of fear. There are people in this place, you've been paralyzed with fear. And God is here to tell you that He's here tonight. And those that are watching by live streaming, you are here because He wants to overwhelm you with His love. He wants to show you His love, like that young man that came here tonight. Never be the same again. And you'd better stand firm, young man, because the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Watch it. You can never go back to the old lifestyle after this night. Never, ever again. It's a new day for you. Sorry for picking on you, but the spotlight was on you. It's a good one, that. Some people here in front, that lady with the red, where are you that stood here? This lady with the red that stood here. There you go. God had a special meeting with you tonight. This is your night of change. I don't know what it is with this block. Maybe if you're really hungry for God, you better move to this block here, because I have a feeling something's going to happen in this block tonight. But your life changes, ma'am, completely. There were things that were tormenting you, mind and thoughts and things. This night, it's cut off over your life by the power of the covenant we have with the living God. Hallelujah. Okay, we need to start somewhere. This is the time of the year where everybody is thinking about the year past. Many people are thinking, what could I have changed in this year? What could I have done different in this year? Some of us have had some very bad experiences in this year. Some of us have had some very trying times in this year. Don't worry, they were just equalizing the sound. I'm not beaming up myself or something here. Some of you have had to face the most unbelievably difficult situations in this year. But guess what? You are still here at the end of the year. God will never leave you. He will not forsake you. He's here for you tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you fear next year. It's just a date on a calendar. But it's a psychological barrier that we have to cross. I'm looking at my sister here with a situation with her foot. God gave me a word. And he said, I will be with you. Isaiah 43 verse 2. If you go through the waters, I will be with you. If you go through the rivers, you will not drown. If you go through the fire, it'll not scorch you. Because I am with you, says the Lord. You are special to me, says God. And all of you. Because I can see you jealous now. This is the time of year that we look at where we are now. And what is waiting for us in the future. Now is the time that we also remember all the bad reports that we've heard this year. My goodness, and was this a year of terrible news, including fake news. A lot of fake news going around. And fake news looks so real unless you have truth and you understand what the truth is. Because Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth will set you free. Don't fall into the snare of the devil trying to lie by deceiving you with pictures and images and news. This morning, my brother spoke about God is good. He didn't really know what I was going to talk about. But my title tonight is Good News. God is good because he brings good news. And we can only have good news because he's a good God. Some myths I had to smile about Christmas. You know the story of the star over the manger and the shepherds in the fields with a star. We need to watch out because even good-meaning people bring us fake news. There was no star. Shocking. There was no star to the shepherds. The message was, in fact, and you don't have to read it, but it says in Luke 2, verse 8 to 11, and they were told not to look for a star. They were told the following, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. So we just eat up everything that the world gives us. I want to tell you tonight, watch out. The devil is there trying to deceive us. He's trying to get our eyes off the real and the true and want you to believe the lie. I was so grateful for Pastor George's message this morning, speaking about the voices speaking to us. Only three voices: the devil's voice, your own voice, and God's voice. Which one will you listen to? I choose God's voice. I choose God's voice. Where do we hear his voice? In the prayer room and in his word. Another thing that's interesting is we see the three wise men on camels. Nowhere in the Bible it says that there were three wise men. It says there were three kinds of gifts, the myrrh, the frankincense, and the gold. It never says three wise men. I want you, in other words, to say, when you're confronted with so-called truths by the media and good-meaning people, you just discern a little bit more and find out. Because in the process, you might very well find a vital truth that is twisted. I heard somewhere in the week they now have apparently, and I haven't checked the facts yet, but they've apparently in Israel now inaugurated or whatever the sacrificial altar of the third temple. And then you hear the Sanhedrin speaking there and saying all kinds of things about our Messiah. There are even Christians, good-meaning Christians, funding the building of the third temple. Oh my word, we need to watch out. Because in the process, if we do not know the truth, we might become part of the plan of the devil in the process. Did you get what I said? discernment. My brothers and sisters, if you pray for anything now, pray for discernment. Pray that God will keep you in the way, in the truth, and in the life. And if you're in doubt, cut it out. Another thing that's just interesting, that I find interesting, is the whole story of Jesus being born in a stable, and the story, there was no place in the inn. The truth is, according to all archaeological and historical facts, Jesus went, or Mary and Joseph went to Joseph's family in Bethlehem. There was a little guest room there. The room was too small. So instead of her giving birth there, she went to the main room. Yes, but underneath was the stables. And you get the whole story. All I'm trying to say is, it is interesting how the devil is trying to twist things for us. Don't let him twist the truth, because Jesus is the truth. Amen. I want to move on very quickly here. But there is good news. The good news, and the fact of the good news, is Jesus was born from a virgin Mary. That is truth. Let me tell you how unbelievably, believably amazing it is. A virgin gave birth. Oh, wow. I can preach a whole message about the virgin birth. But there are some distinguishing factors that we need to take note of. The virgin birth is real, people. If you do not believe in the virgin birth, you're in trouble. Same if you do not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead at the end of his life, you're in trouble. Because those are the fundamental elements of our Christianity. Some of the others is the claims that Jesus' works. You know how often I say, God, Jesus just walked into the crowds. The sick were healed. The lame stood up. They rose up. They walked. The demon possessed were set free. Oh, we see it in the house of God, but do we see it enough? Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. I want to be like Peter. God, hear me, Lord. When I walk out in the street, I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that when my shadow falls on somebody, they must leap out of that wheelchair, no longer the same. But I think we're not hungry enough, my brother and sister. Come on, I see Warren raise his hand. How many of you are hungry for that? Can you stand to your feet and give God a prophetic praise offering now? Hallelujah. Yes. Now, all of you that just stood because you stood because everybody else stood, please sit. I want to see people that are convinced. Listen to me. Pastor Harold is preaching a series that will continue. Don't miss it. The return of the glory to the house of the Lord. How many of you are desperate for that? Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. All right, now you may take your seats like good Christians. This real story. But there's another thing. We are no longer slaves of fear because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. No person need to fear. And before 7:30 tonight, I want to finish this topic of fear. So the good news, the real message is, you are no longer slaves of fear. Jesus is your Savior. There is nothing that he cannot do. Is there anything impossible for God? Is there anything too hard for God? I want to remind you tonight, we are remembering the birth of Jesus. And as I said this morning, probably it wasn't 25 December. But I want to say this. Doesn't matter what day it was, Jesus was born. We just choose to take this time of the year to remember it. And how wonderful, I can speak to Hindu friends. I can speak to Buddhist friends. I can speak, yes, they are there. Can speak to these people. Because they're all celebrating Christmas, but they don't have a clue what it is about. We are here to tell them the truth of the birth of the Savior of this world. Hallelujah. and a loving God. So have you ever wondered, just a little sidetrack here, have you ever wondered why God chose to bring this message of the birth of the Messiah to shepherds? Ever wondered? Why shepherds? Why not the mechanics fixing the camels? Or why not the bakers? Or why not the... Why shepherds? This fascinated me. It fascinated me, as a matter of fact, to the point that I really did a thorough research on this. It is possible that because King David was a shepherd, they were honored as shepherds. Maybe also because Bethlehem was about 9 kilometers, the fields rather were about 9 kilometers from Bethlehem, where the flocks were kept. Those flocks provided the sacrificial lambs for the temple. Possible, that's why. Possible maybe because Jesus ended up being the great shepherd. Possibly because they remembered the slain lamb in Egypt that saved them on the Passover. There are all kinds of theories, but I want to say this to you, I believe with all of my heart. If you really do a study of shepherding in the Bible times, particularly in the area of Judea, they were seen as the scum of the earth. Shepherding was not a desiring job. And then you still had the hired hands that stole the flocks and sell the wool and all kinds of things, enrich their own flocks and so on. So shepherds had kind of a dirty job. They were not the kind of people that you'd say, wow, you know, my boy, I want you to be a shepherd one day. And this is the good news for me. The first part of the good news is that God chose to reveal the birth of the Savior to scum, representing all of us in this place. Because none of us deserved to be saved. All of us were in enmity. We were against God. We were enemies of God. Yet God chose to reveal Himself to the shepherds. In so doing, He revealed Himself to each and every one and all of us. Was not the kind of profession that you'd like your child to enter into. In other words, the shepherds represent ordinary people like you and I. That makes me kind of feel good. It makes me feel that God did not choose the high and the lofty and the up there people. He said, I'm going to reveal this message of a Savior to those that really know they need it. Come on. Amen. I needed a Savior. If Jesus didn't come into my life, and yes, it's the instrument He used, my wife, that's why I am still with her all these years. I owe my life to her. My wife. She never dragged me to church, but she gently prayed me into church. I still remember we had a little Ford Escort? Oh my, the window was open. I must tell you this quickly. I was so scared of that Pentecostal Holiness Church. I didn't want to go close to it. All the demons in me rebelled. I don't want to go there, not that place. Because I dared go once, and guess what happened? That pastor knew everything about me. He told the whole congregation all my sins. I was so mad afterwards, I went to Karen and I said, how dare you tell that pastor everything about me? What a rotten, bad sinner I am, and how useless I am. She said, I didn't tell him anything. You see, I did not understand the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in this place tonight. He knows the secrets of our hearts. Hallelujah. He will never embarrass you. So you know in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, Piepieka, in that church, the pastor still goes to the back door and then he greets everybody. Good night, brother. Thank you for being here. And he had his duffel coat on or what that ever thing with the big buttons. And he stood there and he greeted everybody. But he kissed the men. Brotherly kiss. So he went out that way into the prayer room. And I made it this way out of the church. But everybody was going the same way. So here they're all backing up. And I didn't understand. All I knew was I had to get out of this place. It's a dangerous place. I don't want to be here. So as I look, where is he? Is he going to come out there again? Is he going to come out? I felt a hand on my shoulder here. And as I looked around, he kissed me. He kissed all the demons right out of me. I ran out of that church through the window of the car. And there I sat and I just said, let's go, let's go, let's go. So I had an alcohol problem. I don't even know why I tell you this, but I had a very serious alcohol problem. And so I dared go back to that church. Now I'm sitting in the back. And guess what happens? In the middle of the church, I'm sitting there watching the pastor. I'm looking at this guy and I'm watching, what is he now going to say about me again? He didn't say a word about alcohol, but between me and him stood a huge, big, green wine bottle. Now I sit like this, I try to look around, then the bottle moves. And I'm like this, the bottle moves. So Karen says to me, what are you doing? I says, you won't believe it. There's a wine bottle, listen, standing between me and the pulpit, the pastor. I realized, went home, poured out all my stuff. Long story, that's not what I'm preaching about. Let's go. The point is this. God is intimately involved in your life. He knows everything about you. And he wants to bring you good news tonight. This is the news that he is about to bring to you. Let's go to Luke chapter number 2. And we're going to read there, Luke chapter number 2. And in your Bibles, because you get spoiled with the stuff that I have on the back here. Although they will have Luke 2 verse 13 and 14 to you. Now from verse 8 to 11, I'm coming back to that as time will maybe hopefully allow me. Luke 2 verse 13. And suddenly, and I want to remind you, Pastor Jacques van der Westhuizen brought a message here. And he said, this is the year of suddenlies. It is still the year of suddenlies. And suddenly, God is going to bring you a breakthrough. Is there anybody that take that by faith right now? There is coming a breakthrough. Hallelujah. In your health, in your wealth, in your life, in your family, in your finances, in your children's situation. Amen. There at the back, those hands going up right there in the mother's room. You got it, sister. And you too. You see, we don't forget the people in the fishbowl. So, and suddenly 2019, shame on those in the back there, we don't forget you. I can't see you, it's dark in there, but hallelujah, behind. All right. And suddenly in 2019, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, by the way, saying, not singing. The choir didn't sing, they spoke. Luke 2 verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Now, that scripture is so loaded that you can preach for a whole year on the glory and on God and God in the highest and peace and goodwill towards men. Now, Luke 2 verse 15, and then they say there, let us now go. In other words, they did something. And this is why I said you need to come out. Prophetic manifestation. You need it to come out tonight. Because the moment you do something extraordinary, something happens to you. You would have not had what you have right now if I just made a little prayer in there for you in the seats. You needed to take a step of faith. And when you return to your seats, you returned different people, I believe. Hallelujah. Verse 16. And then they came with haste. You see, when God appears to you and God gives you a message, you need to make haste. I say this with great respect, but I'm always worried about people when Pastor Harold or whoever gives an invitation. You have people that make haste. And then when he's already halfway prayed through, two or three or five other people, and I really, really don't condemn you, but learn a lesson tonight. Then you see somebody coming. Maybe there's something for me also. God wants to see determination. He wants to see faith. Hallelujah. We still love you. Hope you love me. Luke 2:17. They made haste to find them. And they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this child. Luke 2 verse 17. I always said that the woman at the well was the first evangelist. Then I discovered no. These shepherds were the first evangelists for a baby born. Hallelujah. They set the example. Are we going to leave this place tonight as evangelists and say, let me tell you the truth about Christmas, not Xmas? And what was the good news? The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. What are we doing with all of this? Oh, I have so many notes here that I can just take you into. But let's quickly look at this. The word glory. What is the word glory that we are talking about? The glory is the manifest presence of God. It is then as if He is here in our midst. Do you know what? Twice in the history of this church, I have physically seen the glory of God in Little Falls Christian Center, in those days, West Rand Revival Center. I think, George, you might have been there. Jeanette, you might have been there. Erica, you might have been. Maybe one or two others, Alida. That night that the glory cloud came on the church. I want to tell you about it, and Pastor Harold probably will also tell you about it, but I cannot help myself. That night the presence of the Lord was so heavy upon us. Have you ever seen a congregation crawling under the chairs in the presence of a living God, that He manifests Himself over the audience and over the church, that the glory cloud visibly hung over the church? I am hungry for that, my brother and sister, but we're not going to get it just sitting doing nothing. We got to call upon God. We got to cry out to Him. We got to be hungry for Him. We got to be thirsty for Him, and we're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. The glory, the physical presence of the manifestation of God. And the other time was I stood here, and suddenly, I thought something went wrong with my eyes. There was a haze, like a cloud of fog, that came into the audience. I don't know who saw it, but if God could do it then, He wants to do it again. 2019, I believe, is a year that if we're not going to be naturally hungry for God, listen to me, and I'm not speaking a curse or something. All I tell you is God's going to make us hungry for it. Because in Isaiah, He says He's creating a famine for the words of the Lord. And that is for Bible school. You've never been to Bible school. Next year is your year. Of course, God. God, the Almighty Father, the one and true God, the highest God. Highest in the heavens. There is no one higher, no one truer, no one better, no one more. And then the shalom peace. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is the presence of God in every circumstance. When you walk into that doctor's rooms, walk in with a shalom peace of God. When you face your bank account or your bank manager, face it with a shalom peace of God. That peace that passes all understanding. And then He says something interesting. Goodwill towards men. Goodwill toward men. Now this peace, listen to me. Greek is a very interesting language. You can very quickly get it wrong. Our Bible translation says peace to men of goodwill. The correct translation says peace to, well, it says peace towards men of goodwill, okay? And ours says, the correct one says peace, yeah, Got it wrong. Let me get it. It says, sorry guys, I'm just human. It says, let it read it. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Peace, goodwill towards men. The correct translation says, peace towards men of goodwill. Did you get that? The difference. Peace towards men of goodwill. In other words, if you're the kind of a person that carries Jesus in your heart, if you're the kind of a person whose heart is right towards God, you will be a person of goodwill. In other words, you want the best for other people. Now, this is what Christians should be marked by. Goodwill towards all people. Then peace will come. Synonyms for goodwill is kindness, friendliness, helpfulness, generosity, concern, care, and support. I want to be a person like that. I want to walk out of this place and be a person that when people see me, they must say, he is a man of goodwill. Then peace will follow me. The contrary is true also. If you're not a man or a woman of goodwill, you will have strife and enmity and difficulties and rejection and everything following you. It's very important, that good news. But the point I want to make in the last few minutes is, the message was fear not. Now the message was fear not. Fear in the Greek here is phobeo. Phobeo, probably pronounced wrong. But it means something that strikes you with terror. Something that wants to cause you to run. I don't know if anybody in this place has ever been gripped with fear. Gripped with anxiety. I'm going to say it like as plain as possible. But I think it's the closest you can come to hell on earth. It's as if you are gripped with fear. If you're ensnared with fear. So we have here in Luke chapter number 1, verse 11, you don't have to turn there, but verse 12, Zacharias is in the temple, an angel appears to him, and he was troubled. That word troubled there means he wanted to run away. He wanted to run away. I'm hesitant to ask, but how many of you in this audience have ever physically seen a real angel appear to you? Anybody? So I'm the only one. Angels do appear to people. But it is a frightening experience. In your heart. You cannot figure it out. You cannot figure it out with your mind. So, here you have Zacharias. And the angel gives him a message. And this message is right through the word of God. In Luke 1 verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid. So the angel appears, he wants to bring him a message. And this man is shaking. And then the angel says, do not be afraid. Gideon, right through the Bible, go and read. The message of the angel is, do not be afraid. There is a saying that says that there is 365 scriptures, unfortunately, that is not true. See, 365 scriptures telling you not to fear. It's not true. It's about 145, unfortunately. But that's still impressive. 145 scriptures on do not fear. The message is tonight to you. No matter what voices you hear speaking to you, do not believe it. Because the one true voice comes to you tonight and it says, do not fear. Do not fear. It's a command. And then you can go and read for yourself the whole beautiful story where it still goes on. And then Luke 1 verse 17, the angel said to Zechariah, he will also go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready the people to be prepared for the Lord. Okay, just incidentally, how old do you think Zechariah was when the angel appeared to him? They say 92. And his wife, 88. Does that sound like an impossible scenario to have a baby 92 and 88? But with God, nothing is impossible. Yeah. I pray, and I do not pray this lightly, but I pray that if you really are struggling in some area of your life, Jason, that God will appear to you, that an angel will appear, that the message will come to you, undeniably from the throne of God, saying, do not fear. We see Mary, Gabriel appears to her, the whole story of her being a virgin. And then verse 29, she was troubled. She wanted to run away. She was fearful, phobeo. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. And so you can go on. She sings a song of praise. You have also the story of Joseph in Matthew. Again, an angel appears. Do not be afraid. The message is simple. There is no room for fear in the life of a child of God. And I'm speaking to this guy first. Unfortunately, I'm a very anxious kind of a person. Pastor Harold capitalizes on that when I walk and he thinks I don't see him or I don't see him. And he comes up behind me and he does this to me. I jump this high. I'm just a highly strong, anxious kind of a person. Therefore, I have to fight fear always in my life. This is why this message is so close to my heart. But I want to say this to you. I take it tonight. Amen? I take it tonight. Do not fear. If God is in me and with me, nothing can be against me. Though my mother and my father will leave me and anybody goes against me and whatever else, I will not fear because God is with me. Oh, I need to rush. So, back to the shepherds. Luke 2 verse 8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afeared. I want to say this to you, in your darkest moments of fear, if God shows up, the glory of the Lord will shine in your darkness. In Egypt, when the whole of Egypt was in darkness, the children of God had light in their homes. This morning, Pastor George said something so amazing. He said, that is the moment when a good God comes into a bad situation and he changes it around. Luke 2 verse 10, the message from the angel. It says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of great joy, which is to some people. All people. Are you all people tonight in this place? I don't know what, I always say this, I don't know what 2019 holds, but I know who holds 2019 in the hollow of his hand. He's with us. We do not have to fear. I want to close. 5 minutes. What is courage? We need courage. General George Patton, a Second World War general, said, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Some people give up too soon. Hold on. That is courage. In the last days, men's hearts will fail them from fear, Luke 21, 26 says. Men's hearts will fail them from fear. The good news is, and I want you to remember the scripture, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I speak a sound mind. I speak the life of God into your situation. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Not a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Dr. Derek Prince, speaks of four kinds of fear that are not the fear of the Lord. In closing, it's natural fear. Natural fear. What is natural fear? Did you know that man is born, or mankind is born with only two fears? Anybody know what they are? The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. It's the only two fears that you're born with. All the other fears are learned fears. Did you get that? The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises, you're born with that. All the other fears are man-made whisperings of the devil. Therefore, we can stand. I have to tell you this little story. Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, he was too scared to go into their local church. So his mom took him by the hand and said, "Why are you so scared, Teddy? Come, let me take you in." He said, "I will not go in there, mommy. I'm too scared." She said, "What are you scared for?" He said, "I think they call it zeal." He says, "Why are you scared of zeal?" He says, "No, I heard the reverend say, the zeal for my house has eaten me up. I don't want to go into that house anymore. I'm scared it's going to eat me up." That's a natural fear. Second, demonic fear. It proceeds from Satan. Therefore, you have authority over it. It holds us back from doing what God wants us to do. And it torments us. Not God tormenting us. Not God holding us back, but the devil through his demonic oppression. Bind him in the name of Jesus. Luke 10 verse 19, "I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the evil one, and nothing can hurt you." You take that authority and you do it. So the third kind of fear is one taught by men. Wow. Isaiah 29, 13. "Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me," Isaiah 29, 13, "and listen, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men." Do not fall into the trap of the fear that man preaches. I'm speaking to myself. This kind of fear is a superstitious fear. If I don't do this, this is going to happen, and I better be careful and whatever else. It is taught by men, not by God. It is superficial. It does not affect the true heart of man, but it's in the mind. It does not produce the kind of obedience that God desires. It is slavish attitude, not free obedience. And the last one really, really got to me. The fear of man. And when I read this, God said to me, there are many slaves of the fear of man sitting in your congregation tonight that need to be set free from that thing. The fear of man. Listen to the scripture, Proverbs 29, 25. I'm really nearly finished. Proverbs 29, 25. "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Matthew 10, 28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but is not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy the soul and the body in hell." Three kinds of marks that distinguish fear of man. Listen, if you fall into this, watch out. It makes man more important than God. You fear man more than God. More concerned about what man thinks than what God thinks. God's opinion is not so important as the opinion of man. Second, it holds them back from obeying God fully. And the last one, it is the opposite of trusting God. Philippians 4, 7, "The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts for now and forever." I close with a little story, which I always like to do. How many of you ever had scarecrows in your garden? Scarecrows. Anybody? One, two, three. What is a scarecrow? It is like two sticks, and then it's like a straw face at the top or something with a hat and a funny nose and big glasses or whatever. And the arms stick out like that with straw fingers and so on. And they hang a coat over it and glitter and whatever else, supposedly to keep the birds away. Scarecrow, okay? Do you know that a clever bird views a scarecrow only as an invitation, because behind the scarecrow, there is some nice juicy eats. Now the devil is like a scarecrow. He comes and he says, don't believe God. Don't, whatever else. Faith is a wise bird that understands that a scarecrow is just a nice landing place before it takes what is rightfully his or hers. Let's stand to our feet and praise God. Father, I thank you that tonight in this place, somebody just play for me a little bit there. Tonight in this place, Lord God, we thank you. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the mind of Christ, filled with the word of God and the truth of the Ramas of God. Lord, when we go into this week, help us to remember the good news was brought to ordinary people, those that did not deserve it, so that we can stand here 2018 years later and remember that we are like those shepherds, not deserving. But Father, you have given us a Savior. Glory to God in the highest, and peace towards men and women of goodwill, wanting to do the right things. So Father, we commit the message to you. We're no longer slaves of fear. We are free. And Father, we thank you that as we go into this week with Christmas and celebrations of it, that we will find somebody that needs to hear this message. We are free in Christ. And now with every head bowed and nobody looking around, I just want to give an opportunity. If there's anybody in this place, you've come in here, and tonight you say, I don't want to be a slave of fear anymore. I don't want to be one that sits in darkness and fear. I don't want to be that kind of a person that is not one of goodwill. I want to be a person who is a son of the God Most High. I want a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, and I acknowledge Him tonight. And even if it is just for one person, remember I said, if you think too long, you're not desperate enough. But if there's anybody right now that say, Pastor Tiens, please pray for me. I want tonight to make a new stand on this 2 days before Christmas. Quickly come to the front and come and stand here. Just come out of your seat. Nobody's looking around. Anybody, come right now and stand here, and God will touch you. Thank you, ma'am. There's another one over there. There are some people coming there. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Glorious God. Even if it is just for 3 or 4 people, it is worth it. Because tonight your life changes. Hallelujah. Do you realize that right now the angels are rejoicing in heaven? Can we rejoice with them? Hallelujah. And give God glory for these people. Praise God. You may take your seats for a minute. Thank you so much. This is a night of good news. It's a night of good news. Jesus died for you. He loves you. Your lives are never going to be the same again. It changes. Concerns, worries and fears. You're still wondering, did I do the right thing now? Is this real? Ma'am, is it Afrikaans of Engels? English. Afrikaans. Weet jy wat? Die engele in die hemel rejoice omdat jy vanaand uitgekom het. Jou lewe was hard, maar die Here draai hom vanaand vir jou om. The things of the past, en ek wil dit vir jou so sê, jou slegste dae van jou toekoms gaan wees soos die beste dae van jou verlede. You're gonna have a wonderful turnaround in your life. Hallelujah. God says, don't fight me. Don't fight me. There are so many things that didn't make sense, but don't fight me. I am for you, not against you. I love you. And it's actually making quite a scene about you tonight, so enjoy it. Amen. You're born again? Amen. Your mom, your wife, sister, brother? No, seriously. God bless you. It's going to be a good day for you. It changes things around, okay? Amen. For you, wonderful young man. There's a hope and a future for you. You stand strong. Some nice things going to happen for you. Are you working at present? Okay. It's going up. You're going up. You're going up. You're going up. You're going up. And you're having a whole makeover tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wonderful. Eternity is around your neck. And it's in your heart now. Amen. And for you, praise God, it's going to be an exciting year for you. Very exciting. All things new. Amen. I still need two ladies here, please. Praise God. Wonderful. You're related? Awesome. Yeah, proclaim up the super take here, but you know what? It happens. How are you related?
It's my niece.
Niece. Okay. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, I can see. It's wonderful. Oh, God bless you. Would you all just pray with me and say with me, Father God, please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I confess tonight that I am a sinner, but tonight saved by the blood of Jesus. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to live forever in heaven in God's presence. I confess that Jesus was raised from the dead and that I now am saved. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, let's give them a good hand. Please go with Pastor George. He just wants to quickly shake your hand and just spend a minute with you. Praise God. All right. I'm not going to keep you much longer because it is holiday time. And I really honor you and I salute you for coming out tonight. I trust that you got a message from God. Sir, you with a that's sitting like this, can just stand. You are so in love with God. You really love God. And you're still in awe about what He's done for you. Am I right? You really, really love God. But you know what? It's only the beginning. God is going to take you into a new dimension where you are going to become so hungry that you will outgrow everybody around you by miles. There are others now that are a little bit ahead of you, but you're going to grow out of it. And you're not going to outgrow them, but you're going to outgrow everything that was holding you back. It's a new day for you. You can rejoice because God took note of you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. You too with the pink can keep smiling. You can keep smiling. It's good, good, good. Right. Somebody here concerned, desperately concerned about their children. It's a mother. You are desperately concerned about your children. Lisa, you're okay. God has taken care of your children. But your children are completely on the wrong road. I'm not going to wait too long. There we go. Come. Your prayers have been heard. And you are such a lovely child of God. Your example speaks volumes. And what you need to understand tonight is that that is a test. And yes, in the end, it's her, hey, the daughter. Okay. In the end, the decision is theirs. You have done everything right. And God says, I'm well pleased with you. Now, God says, I'm going to hunt them down. I'm not going to give them rest. I will not give up on them. They still have to choose. But God says, I'm going to do everything, everything, and I'm not going to stop because I've heard your prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That's it. Done. Done, done, done. Apart from my natural me knowing your circumstances, that so desperately have a job, so desperately want you to have stability in your life, so desperately want you to have victory, God says, enough, enough, enough. Now, 2019, don't miss New Year's Eve, because I believe that the message Pastor Harold's going to bring, and I don't know what it is, but I just know something in that message will be for you. It'll give you the hope. It'll give you the courage, the courage, the courage. Remember what I said about courage, not give up the courage. Now you will go into the new year, a new person in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right. I am going to let you go. 7:45. No longer slaves to fear. When you hear that voice whispering, rebuke it. And say, Father, 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 what are you saying about this? And believe the truth, because the truth sets you free. Would you stand with me as I close, the final prayer for you. Lord, let them fly on wings of faith. Let them not be scared of the scarecrows, because scarecrows of fear are only there to prevent us from taking what is rightfully ours. And I thank you tonight, Lord, you have spoken to us. No fear of man, no fear of religious teachings of man ensnaring us. No unnatural fears, O God, taking hold of us. But the truth sets us free. Now I release your children to go in peace, the shalom peace of God, until we meet here on Christmas morning at 8:00. Go in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Give somebody a hug.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.